All right, I called Pastor last week, and I told her, I said, I think I got a little word, and she said, all right, well, let me know when you want to preach it, and she proceeded to tell me that she had something she wanted to share, and it was very good last week. And I got excited, and I was ready, I think, last week, but I got some stuff, and I'm going to go for it. I'm going to look at my notes because I don't want to miss anything, but again, I want to honor you, Pastor, as my mother-in-law and, you know, the pastor of this house, the mama of this house, and my mama. I want to honor you and honor my Uncle Mike and Aunt Tammy. They came, so I'm glad to see y'all. And I want to honor my wife. She's a good lady. But so, yeah. The Lord makes me a baby. He's got me soft and pliable. That's not a bad place to be. That's kind of where I'm at with this word. I called, again, I was talking to Joy, and I talked to my wife, and I said, man, this is, I'm learning. And I wanted to share what I'm learning with you guys. So I'm going to pray, and we're going to go for it. So, Lord, I love you. I'm overjoyed with the opportunity just to speak to these people, the chance to speak and talk about you and just love on you. God, I pray that you open up their ears to hear and their eyes to see the same way that you did for me sitting there in that car. God, I just love you. I honor you. You're so good to me. You're so good to my family. You know everything there is to know about us. There's no reason that we should run or hide. You know it all. God, I thank you and I love you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So I got to use my phone because I don't have a version like I want to read out of, but it's okay. It fits well. All right. So I'm going to read to you guys from Psalms 139, and I'm going to read 1 through verse 18 in the ESV version. And David's the writer, and he's in trouble and turmoil, running from the enemy. So keep that in mind as I read you this. All right. It says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's high. I cannot contain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Nowhere. We can't run from his spirit. Where shall I flee from your presence? Nowhere. I can't flee from you. If I ascended to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. You formed me inward. You formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. So you were thinking about me when you created me in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me when I was yet there was none of them. All right, verse 17. Y'all pay attention. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I'm still with you. All right, I'm done reading for a second. That's what I want to talk to you guys about is verse 17 and 18 of Psalms 139. It says, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they're more than the sand. I would awake and I'm still with you. So if I would even attempt to count them, they're more than the sand across the beaches of the world. Not just on Emerald Isle. Not just at Myrtle Beach. Not just at Aunt Barbara's happy place. More than the sand. It says, if I would attempt to count them, they're more than the sands of the sea. So what are we thinking about? Every single person in this room, whether we live in this house made of thoughts, and the quality of your life and the quality of your relationships has less to do with your circumstances and more to do with your thoughts. The way we think. Whatever is the dominant state of our thoughts will leak into our relationships, whether it be positive thoughts or whether it be negative thoughts. So what are some of the greatest things that affect our minds and the way we think and our thoughts? All right, so I wrote a couple down and I'm going to read through them. It says, your personality affects your thoughts. Your environment, it affects your thoughts. Your circumstances affect the way you think. Your belief system affect the way we think. Your upbringing affects the way you think. Your past affects the way you think. Your unresolved hurts or hurts affect the way that we think. Your pain, it affects the way we think. Your insecurities affects your thoughts. Your perceived failure affect your thoughts. Being scared to fail. Being scared to stand up here and talk. What are they going to say about me? Your perceived failures affect the way your thoughts. Your mental health affects the way you think. Your emotional health affects your thoughts. Your spiritual health, or the lack thereof, affects the way that we think. Your suspicion of others affects your thoughts. Facebook, Instagram, media affects the way that we think. Some people have trust issues. That affects the way that they think. All right, so according to science, the average human being has 6,000 thoughts per day. But according to the National Science Foundation, the average person, 80% of those thoughts are negative. That's a lot. That means only 20% for you mathematicians. 20% are positive thoughts. But if we're honest in this room, most of our thoughts, either knowingly or unknowingly, are negative. According to what they said. Out of 6,000 thoughts, 80% of them are negative. So that leads me to believe that a lot of our thoughts are negative. They're not positive. This is probably why the scriptures talk to us so much about the way we think. So I'm going to read a few verses. Isaiah 55, verse 8. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. Isaiah 55, 9, it says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Psalms 92, verse 5, it says, how great are your works, O Lord. Your thoughts are very deep. His thoughts about us, they're deep. They're not surface. They're not just right here. He said right here that we were intricately woven in our mother's womb. He took time when he formed us. says Romans 12:2, being renewed in your mind. Philippians 4:8 says, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And then you know you've heard it, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So God knows all the negative thoughts that we deal with every day. We have the tendency, I like this part, it says, we have the tendency to project among other people beliefs rooted in our thoughts that are negative. So I got to looking into this projecting word. It's a defense mechanism where we attribute our own undesirable thoughts, feelings, or motivations to others. When those internal beliefs are negative, like self-doubt, insecurity, or guilt, we might assume others are judging us, disliking us, or thinking the worst, even if there's no evidence for it. This can distort our perception of a relationship. And if we're honest, many of us, again, knowingly or unknowingly, we're projecting these things about God, about Him, based on negative thoughts. For many of us, we struggle to see God as a loving father because of negative thoughts, maybe about an earthly father. For many of us, we struggle to be accepted by God because of our messed up thoughts, because of the way we're thinking, our stinking thinking, if you will. We have an unhealthy fear of God. There's no reverence there. An unhealthy fear, an extreme fear of God because of negative thoughts. And I wrote in here this morning in Scribble Scrabble, it says, see him as harsh. An unhealthy fear is seeing him as harsh and judge and not a loving father. It's seeing him as a harsh judge, not a loving father. Some are indifferent about God because of our negative thoughts. We really just don't care, to be fair. You know, if our thoughts are faulty, we're often unsure about how God really feels about us. So if we're being honest, we have often asked, how does God feel about me? Or you? How does God feel about Mr. Shane? He asked, how do you feel about me, God? And we look at our life and we look at our failures and we look at where we should have been by now. I'm 38 years old. I've had this call on my life for so long. Why did I wait till I was 38 to step into it? God, why me? And we look at these seasons, we messed up. Opportunities that we had where we failed. Relationships that you messed up. How does God feel about that? And we wonder, how does God feel about me? After all the things I've done wrong, after the mistakes I've made, after the people I've let down, what are God's thoughts about us? Do we have a good perspective of God's thoughts towards you through the filter of negativity? Or is it through the eyes of God and the way He sees us? How should God's thoughts make us feel? All right, so verse 17, I got to get my phone. It says, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How precious are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. So David, prior to this verse, was just in awe of God's design of his body. David changed from being in awe of himself to being in awe of God's mind concerning him. Apparently, David is not ignorant of God's thoughts about him. Apparently, he's not afraid of God's thoughts about him. He's not running from God's thoughts. He's not confused about God's thoughts. He's not even suspicious about God's thoughts. He's not discouraged about God's thoughts. Something happened in these verses. David knows something by the Spirit and by God's knowledge and God's thoughts towards him. God's thoughts towards him does not warrant fear or any discouragement or any suspicion or any negative thinking. So David used this word, precious. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. So this word, precious, says great in worth and value. How great to me are your thoughts, O God. How valuable are your thoughts towards me, O God. It also means rare. How rare to me are your thoughts, O God. It also means highly esteemed. How highly esteemed are your... I'm just replacing precious with the meanings. How highly esteemed are your thoughts towards me, O God. How dear. Beloved, affectionate is another word for precious. We've heard this in the scriptures. My beloved. It also means, this is pretty cool, refined. When something is refined, it has no impurities. It's perfect. It's holy. When it's refined, it's holy. God's thoughts towards me, towards you, towards all of y'all have zero impurities. You know why? Because it's been refined by the blood of the cross. His thoughts towards us have been refined by the cross. All the impurities have been taken out. Because of the cross, we are now an object of his delight. Some of us may think because of our behavior, he likes us. And then you think because of your bad behavior, he has nothing to do with us. That's wrong thinking. All of our bad behavior has been washed by the cross and the blood. When he sees you, when he stares at you, he sees you through the blood of Christ. Because of the refinement of the cross, the impurities in his thoughts towards us have been removed. He has no bad thoughts towards Trey. He has no bad thoughts towards Christian. He has no bad thoughts but towards Miss Teresa. He can't. It's not in him. It was taken care of on the cross. His thoughts towards us are good and just and true. They're perfect. He cannot think negatively about you nor me. His thoughts are good. That's good. God's thoughts towards us are precious. What does this tell us about God's word? From Genesis to Revelation, you have God's thoughts towards us. His thoughts towards us are good. So everything in this Bible from beginning to end is good. When we search his thoughts and when we read his thoughts, you will see his thoughts towards us are precious. So what do I know about from scriptures about God's thoughts towards us. This is not Google. It's not my opinion. It's what I've been taught and trained. It's what I've read from His Word, that I know His thoughts towards me are unconditionally loving. Period. I know that His thoughts towards me are nothing but for good. He desires for your personal growth and for your development. He desires for you to be full of peace. He desires for you to have good relationships, for you to walk with purpose, for you to be fulfilled in your calling, for you to have freedom from heaviness. It's why He said, cast your cares upon Him. His thoughts towards you, He has a desire for you to walk in authority, for you to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, for you to have intimacy with Him, for you to not beat yourself up when you make mistakes. So how then should we view God's Word as precious? Verse 18, it says, if I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I'm still with you. If I could count God's thoughts towards me, the ones that I have access to and the ones that I don't even realize, if I could count His thoughts towards me, if I would just sit down and think from Genesis to Revelation, how many thoughts He has towards me. They're endless. So this is cool. I looked this up on Google because I'm not a scientist and I'm sure they're wrong, but I'm going to say it because I looked it up. So the Earth's beaches contain roughly 5 sextillion grains of sand. I counted it this morning. It's like 21 or 27 zeros. It's a lot. So science has also estimated that in 1 cubic meter, it's not big, 1 cubic meter of sand on the beach, there's 8 trillion grains of sand. So while I was reconfirming what I just told you, this is just a little side note. How many of y'all knew that there are more stars in the sky than there is sand on the beaches? But yeah, He breathed the stars out of His mouth. That's just a side note. But, so 8 trillion grains of sand in a cubic meter, 5 sextillion grains of sand in all the world's beaches. Yet He has zero negative thoughts. This is the immensity of God's thoughts towards us. It's the greatness of how big His thoughts are towards me and you. Trying to count God's thoughts towards us is endless. You cannot sit there and count them all. You cannot get to the end of how He feels about you. So David's saying, if I attempted to count the thoughts towards me, I would count them all. I'm laying there at night. His thoughts towards me. I say, God, talk to me about your thoughts. I desire for you to walk in purpose. I desire for you to walk in the fulfilled calling on your life. My thoughts towards you are unconditionally loving. And I fall asleep. We're human. You're going to fall asleep. End of this verse. It says, if I were to count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I'm still with you. So I'm sitting there and I'm counting all these thoughts and I fall asleep. But yeah, when I wake up, I desire for you to have intimacy with me. I sleep all the way through the night and he's still talking. He never leaves me. I wake up. He's still telling me his thoughts towards me. They're endless. While I sleep, he's still speaking over me. My thoughts towards you are good. My thoughts towards you were great. If we could only get a glimpse of God's thoughts in the Word, then we would conclude what he thinks about most. You. Us. People. His highest creation, the only thing that bears his image, the only thing that bears his fingerprints. But if I had 400 negative thoughts about one person sitting at the end of my row, I'd want nothing to do with them. If I had just 40 negative thoughts about one person at the end of my row, I might not would want to have anything to do with them. Yet God, 6 trillion thoughts about us all the time, not just today, not just when you're in church, not just when I got through praying. 5-6 trillion thoughts about us all the time, but if I have 400 negative thoughts on about a person on my row, I wouldn't want anything to do with them. But just the 8 trillion thoughts God has that we talk about in a cubic meter of a beach, how many of those thoughts you think are negative? Just in the 8 billion in a cubic meter. How many? It can't be many because he's still pursuing you. He's still waking you up every morning by his grace. He's still loving you in your rebellion. He's still pursuing you when you run from him. When we stray away from him, he goes and gets us and he brings us back to himself. How many of those thoughts do you think are negative? And we think, really? Me? You have all these thoughts about Trey? Me? Really, Lord? You have 0 negative thoughts about me? Really? The sinful me? The rebellious me? The prideful me? The real Trey? You have 0 thoughts about me that are negative? Really? You know, the tray that drops the ball. Me? You have positive thoughts about me? The offended me? The materialistic me? The judgmental me? The tray that hasn't prayed this week? Me? You still have positive thoughts about me? Really, Lord? Really? I'm close to done. Got one more scripture. In Jeremiah 29:11. I know y'all know it. This is one of them ones that got me. It really did. I called Granny. I talked to Courtney. I even talked to the girls. Because when I first got a hold of this, I thought Taylor. So when I'm misbehaving, what are God's thoughts towards me? When I'm living in sin, what are his thoughts towards me? We just got here listening and it says, my thoughts towards you are great. They're endless. They're good. But even when I'm living in sin, Jeremiah 29:11, It says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. The Lord's talking through the prophet Jeremiah right here when his people are in sin and rebellion in the world. When I'm out here running, when I was out here running away, I look at this verse for so long. Yeah, God, I know you have a plan for my life. I know there's plans for a future and a hope, plans to prosper me, all this stuff. And I was like, this is great. But the context of how he was saying it, he was talking to people that were in sin and rebellion. He says, while you're running away from me, I'm still praying for you. I still have a plan for your life. I still have a hope and a future for you. Even though you're running, I'm going after you. Come on. You have a plan and a future. That's his thoughts towards you, even when you're in sin. When you're running away as hard as you can run. When you're in the middle of sin and your wife's praying for you, there's a hope and a future on his life. It's real. You stand on his words. His thoughts are true. When I was in rebellion, he was still working on hope. While you're running, he's still working on a hope and a future. That's Taylor. I called the girls. I said, I got this wrong. I just got a better understanding. While Taylor's doing what she's doing, God still got a plan for her life. There's hope on her life. She has a future. The word says it. Not me, not Granny. The word says it. There's plan and a future for her life. That's anybody. You can run. You can go and dive deep. But God, still, I got a plan for your life. Devil, you take your hands off. I got a plan for his life. Period. All right. We cannot outrun his love. Cannot do it. I don't care what it looks like, what it sounds like. You cannot outrun the love of the Father. All right. So. Whew. How should God's thoughts towards you affect your thoughts towards him? We got to have application, right? So I got four things. Four things real quick. God's thoughts towards you affect your thoughts. How should God's thoughts towards you affect your thoughts towards him? Number one, we got to think about him frequently. Just think about him. It can change the atmosphere. It can change your ride home from work. It can change a moment. Jesus. It can change how you feel when you wake up in the morning. Just think about him nonstop. Think about him frequently. Think about him all the time. It can change the atmosphere around you when you begin to think about him. Think about him affectionately. Lord, I don't deserve it, but I love you. I don't understand, God, but I love you. I desire you. I want you. Help me. Minister to me. Encourage me. Wrap your arms around me. Guide me. Lead me. Pick me up. When I fall down, pick me up. Think about him affectionately. As a creator, he smiles over you. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. As my Father who delights in me. Think about him affectionately. Think about him joyfully. It's number three. Lord, I know I'm going through it right now. but I praise you anyways. God, I owe you my praise. You may have lost a job, but I praise him anyways. You may not have no money after giving your tithes. You praise him anyways. I don't know why things happen the way they happen, but we praise him anyways. God, I can't explain why I'm hurting right now, but I praise you anyways. Think about him joyfully. I'm the healed of the Lord. I may not feel like I'm healed, but I'm going to praise him anyways. There's nothing that's going to stop my praise. Think about him joyfully. When you find out good news, praise the Lord. Don't let it just, oh, that's good. We praise the Lord. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be praised. Think about him joyfully. All right, think about him reverently. This is number four. Think about him reverently. He's not your homeboy. He's not a name on a shirt. He's not a name on a bracelet. He's holy. He's not even cool. He's way above cool. You know, your shoes are cool. Your car is cool. Along with cool, Jesus is. He's cool. But beyond cool, he is holy. So I think about him reverently. He's Yahweh. He's Jehovah. He's Jireh. He's Elohim. He's the bright and morning star. He's the lily in the valley. He's the great I am, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. The Lord God Almighty. I said he's holy. The one who is and is to come. The maker of heaven and earth. The keeper of my soul, my savior, my provider, my way maker, my healer, my deliverer, my strong tower, my advocate, my righteousness, my peace. He's holy. I run into him and I run out of him and I find rest because he is holy. He's set apart. There's no one like him. There's nobody like him in all the earth. He's holy. That's the end of my notes. I gotta land it. All right. Mom and Daddy, come here. Stand right there. So, Dad's going to represent my son. Mama is going to represent my girls. So you got Callan, and you got Ellie and Kinsey. So, these are my children. Okay? Hang with me. They make mistakes. And a lot of them, they disobey me from time to time. They do silly things from time to time. And they don't always listen when I talk. Sometimes they miss it. Altogether, they miss it. Sometimes they're rude and they know it. But when I look at them, I've never, ever, ever, ever had an evil thought. about my kids. I've never had an evil thought. When I stare at them, I never in my life had an evil thought. Every time I stare at them, all I want is for the best for them. I want the best for Callan. I want the best for Elle. I want the best for Kenzie. They're my children. Every time I stare at them, they're an object of my love. I just want to keep on loving them. I just want to protect them. I want to hold them. Even when they do wrong, I just keep thinking, I keep believing they will be everything they're called to be. They'll be everything I want them to be. And what God wants them to be. I keep fighting for them. I keep protecting them. I keep providing for them. I keep loving them. I keep providing. I keep loving. I've never once in my life had an evil thought. If I, being a man, being a human, think this way about my kids, how much more does the Lord think about us? You're good. How much more? How much more? I've not got it yet. I messed up this morning. Had a bad thought. I was so excited to call Joy and Courtney, and my dad called me, and I had a bad afternoon at work. I told Dad, I said, well, the Lord's been talking to me all day, but I'm failing. But he's talking. I'm listening. I'm failing. But he's got a plan and a hope and a future. He knows I'm going to get it right. I'm done.
You don't fail till you quit. You don't fail till you quit. So we just keep getting back up, right? We don't stay down. What love you have for us, God. And we're so grateful. What love. Oh, the thoughts that you think toward us. And not a one of them negative, not a one of them ugly. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Forgive us for not realizing how great and wonderful you are. Forgive us for not realizing how wonderful we are to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And your love reaches the farthest, will go the deepest to bring home those ones who belong to you. And we thank you for that. You did it for me. You've done it for others in here, and there are more that you're doing it for right now. Thank you, Lord. that prodigals are coming home. Thank you, Lord, that people who've never known you are coming into the kingdom. Thank you, Lord, that people who do know you or have had a relationship with you, I thank you, Lord, they're drawing in deeper because they want to know this amazing God who loves them. Thank you, Lord. You're drawing them. You're wooing them by the Holy Spirit. You said in Zechariah, you would hiss for them like, "Psst, come to me. Psst, hey, come here." We thank you for that, Lord. You never quit on us. And Lord, forgive us for having thoughts toward other people that you don't have toward those other people. How many times you've said to me, "That's not my way of thinking, Joy. That's not my thought. That's not my way." Lord, forgive us for those times that our thinking, our thoughts, and ways are not your ways. And thank you for loving us enough to correct us. And may we look at other people and realize these wonderful thoughts you have toward me, you have toward them too. And may we use this message that has deeply stirred our hearts about your love for us. May we use this very word to encourage others of your love and your thoughts toward them. May we use this. May we turn right around and share it with others. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the servant of the Lord. Thank you for the word you put in his heart. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Anybody need prayer for anything at all?